When the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the Best Soccer Show, the best soccer show in the whole world.
Go! It's the Best Soccer Show live post-game USA Jamaica. A 1-1 draw at the office, Jared. It's just like a day at the office, just like a day at work where you finish and you go, did I accomplish anything? What did I get done today? Was that a good day or a bad day? I don't even know. Let me get home and drink. Feels like that tonight.
Felt like 8 hours and at the end of it, you're frustrated?
Pretty much exactly what it was, right? A 1-1 draw. Look. Here's the thing, Jared, as the final whistle was blowing, this is what I was thinking. If not for the way we beat Mexico, if not for the performance across 90 minutes against Mexico, I don't think I'd feel this disappointed. I don't think I would be this let down. And maybe that was a letdown for this team. Maybe that was a letdown game. Maybe they didn't handle the emotions of it. I don't think they played poorly, but they were bailed out by a couple of misses from Jamaica, by a call late in the game on a set piece Jamaica put in the net. Walker Zimmerman may be held down. That happens on every free kick in the history of the world, by the way. Yeah. So how are you feeling right now?
I'm okay. I'm okay. I'll be honest with you. I watched this game pretty much stress-free. And I think, there was so much stress around the Mexico game.
It was a different vibe. Yeah.
That it was kind of like, I was just like, okay, this will happen. This will get done. This will get done.
Yeah.
I almost feel like qualifying is behind me now that we beat Mexico, and that's not the right attitude
to have. That's not true, no.
I know, but there was so much anticipation and lead up to that game and emotion to that game that this one, especially when you get the early goal, and it actually felt for like 5-6 minutes after that goal that the U.S. was going to run away with the game. I really thought that at one point because Tim Weah was just on, the ball was flowing nicely, Jamaica had to come out of their end because it was 1-0 down. And it just kind of lost the confidence of the game.
We got Antonio'd. After we got Antonio'd, or is it what's better, Antonio'd or McHale'd? McHale'd or Antonio'd? Which one do you like better?
McHale'd, because it sounds like killed a little bit.
Okay, so we got McHale'd, which was, I mean, look, what are you going to do about that? I mean, I saw there was a little bit of conversation. Oh, maybe Matt Turner saves that. That's not the way that conversation should go. I don't think Zach Steffen was good tonight. But I don't think that was the moment you should point to.
I'm going to say it differently than what I've heard people say. The goal was savable.
A world class goalkeeper gets to that, is what you're saying.
Or better positioning. He was really on his front post. You know, and
sure.
I'll just say it wasn't tucked away in the corner. Let's just put it that way. It was a great strike from distance, a hard save for any keeper to make, but it's savable. That's my take on it.
Okay, it was wobbling. It was moving, right? That's one of those balls that's got some swerve on it. It's not curling, and therefore it's not a predictable flight path, and then you have to go and get it. And Steffen was not able to go and get it, and then the tenor of the game changed, right? And after that, it became about as CONCACAF as it gets. That was hack-a-yank, the plan from Jamaica, right? They were out there just chopping us down all over the place. Referee seemed unwilling or unable to decide if he was going to officiate that tight. He didn't for Jamaica. The United States really wasn't nearly as physical as the Jamaicans were. And I'm not saying that's why the U.S. drew the game or we should be upset about the officiating. Because, again, CONCACAF, right? That's what that is every single time you go away.
Yeah, I don't find that to be too much of a talking point. It's World Cup qualifying in CONCACAF. That's going to happen everywhere you go. You're going to get smacked around. I just think they need to grow up and get over it if that's really what's holding them back. If that's what's holding them back, grow up and get over it.
Do you think that they regressed? I mean, it's one game after the Mexico game. Obviously, again, no McKennie, which I think made a massive difference. I saw some stats quoted in the first half. Busio was completely absent defensively in that game. Just completely absent. No interceptions, no recoveries, no tackles, no nothing, no duels won, nothing like that. And he wasn't good enough on the attacking end of the field to justify the lack of bite on the other end. And I know Musa was doing some work. I know Tyler Adams is always good defensively, even though he was marked out of the game in the buildup. I thought Busio was the right call.
He could have done better on Antonio on the goal, to be honest with you, with Adams. He overran him. And by overrunning him, you let him have a step back into the middle and have a shot. So, okay. I mean, you can talk a little bit about Tyler Adams in that regard. I don't know that the midfield is necessarily where this game was lost. I don't know. It didn't feel like the U.S. was up for it after the first 15 minutes. To me, and I think it was a kind of a letdown game after the high of Mexico. And that's something that everyone was kind of worried about going into it.
Okay. You made the point about Adams. Kyle says he should have closed Antonio down better. All right. Again, you know, I don't think you, even though that may be true, and I guess because it's Antonio, you have to be on your toes here. Who expects someone to hit a bomb like that to beat your keeper? I'm not saying that's an excuse for Tyler Adams. He still kept Antonio.
I'll see this. If there's a keeper in the chat or there's a keeper that wants to call in, here's my thing. Mm-hmm. When you watch Zach Steffen on that save, on the goal, how often do you see a keeper dive off 2 feet? He dove off two feet. And that, to me, signals that he was not in the right positioning to go after that ball.
So hold on. Why might Zach Steffen not be sharp enough to know or to be in a good position? Not that he knows how to push off 1 foot and make that save, but why might he not, in the middle of a game, in the game action, why might he not be prepped for that mentally, Jared? Why?
Reps?
Reps in live action games, maybe?
It's a tough thing to say. It's a good goal. It's a really good goal. Like I said, and I think maybe 7 out of 10 times that goal gets scored. I'm just saying it's not so good it wasn't savable. And when you look at the fundamentals, usually a keeper's jumping off 1 foot to make sure they get that extra bit of extension. He jumped off 2 feet, which is weird.
Yeah.
It's nitpicking, absolutely.
No, it is. It is. And it's not that Zach Steffen didn't lose the game. Again, he had some other dicey moments. He had some other distribution moments that were not good enough. And don't say, oh, Zach Steffen has to be in the game over Matt Turner because of his distribution, which is something Berhalter again referenced yesterday. There were other bad performances. I feel like I jinxed the kid or something, or I don't know what happened. He wasn't good against Mexico, and he was a disaster again tonight. And I understand the field conditions probably exacerbated it. But what happened to Anthony Robinson? Tell me what happened to Jedi, because I don't know. He lost the force. The force left him. It's gone.
Yeah, he had two rough games in a row. I don't think it's so much that you drop him. I still don't think we have another left back ready
is the problem.
Well, Sam Vines is sitting on the bench. He's playing well for Anderlecht by most accounts. But
okay, okay.
But
Joe
still
Scally, flip him. Flip Joe Scally over there when you get Serginho.
Well, if he can't start a right back, is he going to start a left back? If he's not good enough to start.
I don't think it's that he's not good enough. Although I don't know, maybe his reps in training weren't good enough. I mean, Berhalter said he was fine yesterday. Who knows? I don't know.
Listen, Berhalter did nothing wrong with the lineup in either of these two games, in my opinion. Right. I think if you're mad at someone, don't be mad at Greg Berhalter. I think Berhalter, for the first time, has put two good lineups in back-to-back, and I just think the players had an off day, unfortunately.
Again, this is the balance that we have to strike when it's away in CONCACAF and something like this happens. Is the United States more talented than Jamaica? Yeah. Outside of Mikel Antonio, yes, 100%. The United States is more talented in the aggregate than Jamaica. Does that mean we should walk Jamaica at the office, even in front of nobody in that stadium? I don't think so. Again, the surface, the travel, it's just a different thing. It's really hard to put your finger on. It sounds like excuses, but it's not. And then you're also disappointed, rightfully so, in the overall performance. The big cheesy Mac. Is it possible that it's just really hard on the road at qualifying? I feel like a tie is not ideal, but still somewhat acceptable as long as we're getting consistent results at home. Yes, Agreed. Again. You are as of right now on 15 points at the 8-game point in qualifying. You're only 6-7 points away from probably qualifying for the World Cup. You don't know for sure, but that's kind of the target, and there's plenty of time to get those points now in the second half.
Worst case scenario, USA is in second place at the end of the night tonight.
Canada could jump over the United States if they win in the Snow Bowl against Mexico. We may have to talk about what's going on in Edmonton, dude, because I know we're going to be done before that game starts, I think. So we'll be able to talk a little bit about that. Felix, our man in Chicago. What's up, Felix?
Hey, guys. Yeah, first thing, I don't think you guys got to it yet. I feel like Busio was pretty poor tonight. Is when you watched his spacing, even in the first half when we looked a little bit better, you would see he would always kind of position himself by a player. He wasn't like finding open space to, like maybe pull players wide or maybe make spaces or passing lanes for other people around him. He was always standing by a defender or someone, whoever was marking him, and he wasn't pulling markers away. He distributed quickly. He wasn't holding the ball necessarily. You know, he would distribute quick, but it wasn't like his passing was incisive. It was just quick. And so I thought Busio was pretty poor. There was a couple passes here and there that were all right, but I don't think his intensity really matched what Jamaica was bringing. And I thought his passing was pretty poor. Anyways, that's my first thought on what you guys felt about Busio's performance.
I don't think anyone out there was poor. That's a word that we throw away on today because someone has a bad game or something like that.
I think Anthony Robinson was pretty bad. I think Anthony Robinson was pretty bad. I mean, maybe he might be the only one that stands out for me. I mean,
I feel like we have to find a reason that we were horrible just because we got a draw on the road. Like,
no, that's fair. That's fair. I think you're right. It's just a little bit of results based analysis. And look, there were moments as a team, right, that certainly were letdowns. I think set piece defending is a problem right now, at least against a team like Jamaica, because that ball to the back post, they did not handle it, and they obviously didn't handle the goal that got disallowed. Mm-hmm. And I think the consensus is, where's the foul? Walker Zimmerman got held on some level. You got to go.
We don't have the angle. We never saw the angle we needed to see, which is the angle from the side. We always saw from the Jamaican player's back, and you can't see what he's doing with his arms in front of him. There may have been holding down Zimmerman. We want to be mad about something. We're looking for something to be mad about all the time. Like, no, literally, we never saw an angle other than behind the play, and we say, we got bailed out. Maybe he fouled him.
Let's do it this way, and I got another call waiting, so I'm going to ask Felix before I let him go. Felix, what's your DEFCON right now based on the win against Mexico and the draw against Jamaica and where they sit, again, with games left to play in CONCACAF tonight?
We're not at a DEFCON level. As an ex-military guy, we're not even at a DEFCON level.
Okay,
everything is fine. We tied on the road. We tied on the road. Honestly, we were lucky we got a draw considering some of those goals that I forgot what's his name. He missed a sitter. I think it was Leon Bailey or someone.
Yeah, Bobby Reed.
Bobby Reed. Yeah, Bobby Cordova, D. Cordova Reed. And then the penalty, the free kick or whatever that was kind of called back. We were lucky to get out of there with a draw. Win on the road. Win at home. Draw away. We're doing just fine. There's no reason to panic. These kind of games are going to happen when you're in your qualification for CONCACAF.
I 100% agree with that. And here's Scott Crawford saying VR would have killed us tonight. But I feel like we're blind to only half this game. VAR may have kicked off a player in the first half of Jamaica. Like, we don't think about these things because at the end of the game, all we could do is be absorbed in our misery, and we forget to be objective of the fact that VR could have helped us in the first half.
Yeah, I let Felix go. Felix, you got to play the game. I understand that we're not at a DEFCON. Look, DEFCON 5 is the lowest you could go. Just stay sick. That's complete peace. Nobody
My man has an oath. He swore an oath. He
doesn't like me appropriating the military military terminology. All right.
He thinks Iron Eagle was bullshit.
Iron Eagle was bullshit, but I still love that movie. As a former Air Force brat, how can I not love that movie? We used to laugh at that movie when we were kids in with parents in the Air Force. All right, Freddie in Houston. Go ahead.
Hello, guys. First time caller, but I've been watching you guys for a while now. There's a lot to talk about from this game. I can agree that it's not time to panic, but I feel like the high that we had on Friday from winning against Mexico, now it's kind of over. And after like that victory, I watched a lot of Mexican like TV shows about like the game. And they were still saying that they're still better than us, and it doesn't really matter that we're still like the Giants. And I feel like it was kind of a chance to like to keep on being first place and like, you know, still riding that high to still show Mexico was still number one. And also I feel like Busio wasn't good today, and we're going to have to learn how to attack more through the central than just go out wide all the time. Mm. Thanks, guys.
All right. Appreciate it, Freddie.
And here's the thing. If you want to be angry about something, be angry they didn't come out and play like the top team of CONCACAF, because that's what I said earlier this week on our other show. It's like my objective for tonight was come out and play like you're the first team in qualifying, first place team. And I think they did that for about 15 minutes. But after that, it seems like they forgot who they were. But if you want to check some boxes on objectives for tonight, Mm-hmm. Goal in the first half, fantastic. We never get goals in the first half. Amazing.
Well, and a great goal. The dribble and the finish, I think he deserves an O-baby.
Walker Zimmerman, two games in a row, he was freaking a rock. Dude is so good in the air.
He did have a couple of moments where I wasn't thrilled.
I'll say this, sometimes he wins the ball and it goes to no one. So like maybe there could be a little bit more intelligent winning of the ball down to someone. And sometimes he clears the ball because he panics a little bit. But I'd rather have that than a mistake.
I think there were a couple of – I think there was a little bit of that, a little disconnect in understanding. I mean, it didn't seem connected in the midfield. They didn't seem to have the – I don't know if it was because it was Busio and not McKenney. I don't know if it was laggy legs. I don't know what it was. But there was something missing in that midfield in after the Antonio goal.
It was the gentleman named Weston McKennie. That's what we were missing. And I think Busio's main thing he was guilty of was not being Weston McKennie. I think the guy was in good position a lot of the time. I think sometimes he passes where Weston McKennie would move. And I think that is something that the U.S. has to find that chemistry when you don't have Weston McKennie in. He's not going to give and go the way Busio's not going to give and go the way Weston McKennie does. And that maybe stutter steps the offense. But let's also not forget about it. It's hard to advance the ball when you don't know where it's going to roll. How many times did you see the ball get caught in the spokes of Yunus Musa tonight and Tim Weah when they were trying to dribble with the ball?
I just saw Hercules Gomez tweet out. Do you think that Jamaica intimidated the United States? That physical approach? I mean, which you knew was going to... No, on the field, the physicality of Jamaica, the way that they were battering the United States a little bit, which again, you have to expect. Now, I don't know that you can like figure out a way around that if you aren't a physical team and outside. Like, if you're not going to start Kellen Acosta, you're giving away some physicality in midfield. Yunus Musa is a physical player. I think he can handle that.
I thought DeAndre Yedlin did a very good job tonight of being physical.
DeAndre Yedlin's a hell of an athlete. In a battle like that, he can do a good job. Man, it. I don't know how much this informs what I should be worried about in the future, right? And I don't know if I should be, like you said, like it's a point in CONCACAF. And if you signed me up for a win over Mexico and a point on the road in Jamaica in this window, I would have said, yes, sir, give me more of that.
Yeah.
Should I be happy with it? Or do the performances in particular, again, the Mexico performance was fantastic. I think we even talked about the possibility of this kind of situation ahead of the window. Like if you beat Mexico but draw in Jamaica, are you happy with it? Maybe it depends on the performances themselves, but because the Jamaica performance is the most recent one and we're reacting to that now, it's like we already forgot how good they can be against Mexico.
Yeah, 4 points, you got some missionary stuff. Congratulations. It's nothing to write home about. It's nothing like super naughty, but I mean you did the bare minimum.
You accomplished the task, right?
It's not stellar. You're not writing a penthouse forum about what you're doing. But
I mean, that's the thing, though, right? It's we missed the last World Cup, and that still is raw. Like that's still, even though it's 4 years now since the loss in Trinidad, that still burns a lot of people, and so therefore every reaction is going to sway. I mean, if you listen real close, I mean, I don't have a sound effect for this. Sound drop, but if you listen real close, you can hear the pendulum go back the other way, right? Now, maybe it's not all the way there yet, but that's...
No, I see what you mean, because what American fans, I think, want more than anything else is breathing room, and that's what you're not getting with the results that are out there right now. You're averaging a win at home and a draw away. That's what you're averaging exactly at this point in qualifying. And while you know it's enough to get the job done, I think what Americans really want is that breathing room, that space, to know they're not one fixture away from being either in first or fourth. That's what I think Americans really want.
Well, again, after the Canada-Mexico game tonight, it's possible the United States will have slipped into second place in the standings and Canada will have moved ahead. Would that bother you going into 2022? I mean, I'm having trouble wanting good things for Canada just because I don't really want somebody to pass us by. I have this little brother thing with Canada, but I mean, I get it. They're good.
Americans are rooting for a draw tonight in Edmonton. That's what they're rooting for. A draw puts U.S. back on the top of the table. And I think that's where that's the result you want to see. But that being said, if either of those two teams get 3 points, I'm not scared. I mean, I still think that it's a three-horse race with a fourth horse a little bit further behind. And I'm not necessarily worried. I'm not worried about the fourth place horse. I'm worried about what my horse is going to do. And I think that's a good position to be in, because we've been in other situations where we needed help, and we don't need help right now. Right. We can do it ourselves.
Right. So I just put up a comment from Daniel, and I'll do it again. This wasn't an awful result. There are 6 games remaining. El Salvador, Honduras, Panama are all at home. 7 points from those alone, and you're through. And, you know, that's the thing. Like, why would we have any real concern that the United States wouldn't hold serve at home against those 3 countries? I mean, maybe Panama, based on their performance to this point in the octagonal, gives you a little bit of pause. Honduras has been crap. Are they going to suddenly get better in 2022? El Salvador is a tough one on the road.
Costa Rica's a shadow.
I'm not even talking about Costa Rica. We've already played Costa Rica. I'm talking about the three home. Yeah, and well,
I'm talking about qualifying results. I'm sorry, you were talking about the fixtures coming up. Sorry,
I'm talking about the rest of qualifying for the United States, right? With the remaining 6 games, and knowing that you need, you know, 6-7 points is probably going to get it done. 9 points will definitely get you in. You have 3 games at home against lower quality teams in the region. Again, Panama may be the toughest of the bunch. Why would you doubt that you can handle those games? Should we really be concerned about that? I mean, after
Canada
today,
away is the only thing I'm worried about. Other than that, I'm not worried. Canada away is a real fixture. That hasn't been a real fixture in a long time. No. And we still don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to ice tech us as well? Or, like, I'm not sure what they're going to do with the U.S. game. But I'm confident in this team's ability. I'd rather play Canada, honestly, than a team like Jamaica, because Canada's going to try to play like we do. And then it's just a test of who can pull that off better. Whereas Jamaica is playing a very different style than us. And I think the onus is on us to take the game to them. And sometimes that's a hard thing for a team to do, especially a young one. So with Canada, while it's a bit scary in terms of the talent they have on the field, I'm more down for that game. I'm more down for the U.S. to play that game.
Well, you know what's hard about this is that the United States has some weapons. And I think Brendan Aaronson had a pretty good day today. Obviously not involved in the goals directly, but I thought he was pretty good. He had a couple moments. Again, sharpness, and again, maybe the field conditions, maybe some things kept the United States from really connecting, but there were a couple of good moments that could have come off in a different situation. But I'm thinking about how Jamaica today had a game-changing player. One player who, if you get the ball to his feet, you really do believe he could pull something out of nothing, and he did. Miguel Antonio with the bomb. Pulisic is a nice player, and I think he did some good things, and he won some free kicks, but he's not necessarily, you're not counting on him to be that kind of game-changing player, right? He has to work in concert with his teammates. I think Canada has two maybe of those players, and you could even throw Tejan Buchanan in the mix, but I think both Jonathan David and Alphonso Davies are capable of doing it by themselves, and I would love for the United States to have a player who can do it by himself. Right? Where
you saw that in Tim Weah today, right?
I guess you did. But
now, can he do it consistently? I don't know.
Yes, that's the question, right?
And I think the other thing we're figuring out is that Ricardo Pepi isn't a silver bullet. Ricardo Pepi is not a silver bullet. I think he had 2 good services the entire game. One of them, he struck really nicely and deflected on the way to goal. Yeah. And another one, he just didn't get off the way he should have. So I don't know that Ricardo Pepi isn't getting a ton of chances and not finishing them. He's doing the best he can with limited service. And that's what we said about strikers for a long time for the U.S.,
right,
to be honest.
Right. Did you think that Ricardo Pepi's performance off the ball has improved? I think you mentioned this against Mexico. You said you thought he maybe had improved, or maybe that was the game against Costa Rica. In this particular case, because, you know, there's really no argument yet for taking him out of the starting lineup, because there's nobody else who has stepped up. I wouldn't mind seeing a DK late in the game just to as a physical player to do something and maybe mix it up a little bit. You know, Sargent's not scoring. You know, Jordan Siwichu is not the answer. Jordan Pfaff, excuse me, not the answer. I don't know where the other guy is that's supposed to do this. So there's no argument, but I wonder. I saw somebody say, has he plateaued? First of all, is that possible at 18 to plateau?
He might be having an average part of his season, but I don't think Ricardo Pepi in any way is plateaued. I mean, if you're talking about just recent form, then yeah, you could say there's a plateau right now. But in terms of his ceiling or who he's going to be as a player, not even close.
Okay.
But I think I think we have to be careful when we're talking about this, because I don't know that Ricardo Pepi has improved, which is the initial thing that you asked. From, I think he had a good game against Mexico in his movement. Whether that means he's improved or he just had a good game, sometimes we want to make these, draw these large conclusions from short, for small segments of data. And that's what we have right now. It's impossible to say if he's improved, because we've only seen him play a couple times. I think he had a strong game in terms of his movement and pressure in Mexico. And I thought he'd had a subpar game tonight in terms of those same things. What he did better against Mexico than he didn't do tonight, he didn't wasn't able to do as well holding up the ball or distributing the ball. I think he had a lot of problem with the pressure Jamaica was putting on him as he received the ball. But he's got to get cleaner with that touch. That's the one thing that we have never recovered from in the loss of Jozy Altidore in this team, is that guy that can hold the ball and actually take pressure and distribute from that forward position. We don't have it, and Pepe's got a ways off on that still.
Okay, I mean, again, I think the guy is a talented goal scorer. Again, sort of that innate ability to find the net when the ball comes to him, but that doesn't mean he's going to be consistently putting the ball in the net in every single game he plays. So we're gonna find out. Like, we're gonna find out how he responds to this. Now, there are no games until the end of January. There is a December camp with a game against Bosnia in Carson on December 18th. Then they'll come back for a camp in January ahead of games at the end of that month. There will be an MLS domestic camp that will lead into all the European players coming together. So we're past the halfway point, but there's going to be this kind of break. And I wonder, you know, with the way that this process in the first half has gone, Gio Reyna out. I saw a note today that they think he's going to be a couple weeks away. So by January, should we have Gio Reyna back? You know, there may be somebody else who's missing, but maybe Sergiño Dest is back. Obviously, you still, Aaron Long could potentially be a factor at some point in the near future. I don't know that you do that out of season. I think
the
March
window is probably the most likely one that you see. Well, I mean, it depends if Aaron Long can participate in the December camp or not. If he can, that's a potential player that if he's good enough to start working out slightly with the U.S. in this camp right now, and they're bringing him in, maybe by the December camp, maybe that's why Berhalter had him in right now to take a look and see, can I bring this guy in December, and can you have him potentially in a place to help by late January?
Our friend Rogelio is here, and he's trolling us with pro-Mexico takes. Shout out to Rogelio.
Trolling us? Did you see your team?
I know. Well, he's here. He always comes in. I just want to note his presence, because he's always here. We love the
it's like
support.
He can only get satisfaction in the mirror that is us.
He says, Dos Aceros forgotten with the USA performance tonight. Now, I think he's trolling, right? He is. Does it feel that way? I don't feel that way. I really hope people aren't moving on.
It is so present on the top of my skin how good that felt. Rogelio, you have no idea how good that felt. You know how I know you have no idea? Because you haven't felt it in a year. Because three times now, you have not felt that when you could have. So no, I understand that you don't remember what it felt like, and that might be why you think this way. But once you get a taste of winning again and see a good team on the field wearing your shirt, then you'll know.
We're taking DEFCONs, too. DEFCON with the U.S. Men's National Team. Phone line 717-727-2378. I've got, again, I only have sound for the top three levels. So if you are a four or a five, that's good. We could play something fun instead and not have to worry as much. Jared, are you at a four or a five?
Four. Maybe okay. Five. Four. I'll say four, though. I know you don't like halves. You don't like halfies.
I'm not a big. You can't do half. You can't. There's no half measure. You're at a four. You're at a five.
Take us to DEFCON 3.
Is that where you're at? You're three. Is that where you're playing it?
No. I'm not playing somebody three. I'm at a four. Also, I look. It's not 100% comfortable. I'm not sitting here like planning a trip to Qatar. I don't know if I would go anyway, but I'm not planning a trip to Qatar, and I'm not setting up my schedule to watch the U.S. men in November of 2022. I still can't believe we're doing that.
Yeah.
But I feel pretty good about this team's ability to go qualify. I certainly am still happy about the performance against Mexico and 2-0. So it's a draw. They didn't lose. They got a point on the road. And again, the formula, win at home, draw on the road, and you're golden. They're still good.
This team is capable of more. And that's the part where fans are left in a position where maybe they're saying three or two or fire Berhalter. Like, it's a short-term thing. I don't think tomorrow morning they're going to wake up and feel the same way.
No one can legitimately be saying fire Berhalter right now.
It's in the chat. I've seen it.
Well, okay, but that's...
I don't know if they're legitimate or not.
Is that a bit? It's got to be a bit, right? You can't... Whether you like him or not, whether you think he's the guy to take us to the World Cup or not, can't justify firing.
Did Berhalter mess up either of the two lineups this window?
I don't believe so. I mean, that was the lineup I wanted to see tonight, and it didn't get it done, so I can't blame him.
Did he mess up the subs?
That tonight you could debate. He took off Musa instead of Busia, which I thought was the right, the better decision would have been bring on Acosta.
Why do you think he did that? I think what we're not aligning here is our expectations versus Berhalter's. Why would Berhalter take off Musa for Acosta?
Because he doesn't. Because you take the point and you're happy with the point, right?
That's what Americans don't want to hear. But then again, the average American's job isn't on the line if they don't get a result and get a point in Jamaica. Like, Berhalter is doing what he's getting paid to do. Slowly grow the national team and achieve the result of getting to the World Cup. That's mm-hmm. what he's supposed to do. That's what you're getting paid to do. You just may not like how he's doing it, but he's achieving it.
In a sport where there are draws, you're never going to be satisfied with a draw, right? And again, you could look at this the other way, and certainly you could look
Mexico
at it as, oh,
heck, I would.
Okay, right. You could look at this as, they're lucky to get a point out of Jamaica, considering the Bobby Reed miss, considering the foul that was called against Zimmerman or on Zimmerman. I don't know. Grizzly says that playing for a point almost cost us the game. You could argue that. That's always the truth, right? It's always that you're
what you
playing
what you
with
can't
fire.
Argue is that maybe the sub saved us the game, and you have no idea. You have no idea what making the other sub would have done. It's just.
Yes,
this
right.
is where we are. This is what fans do. Like it's you can measure what did happen, and that's fair. But what you can't measure is the alternative. You don't know what would have happened if he had done something else. Maybe we would have lost a game. You have no idea. But at the end of the day, he achieved the result, which was a win at home and a point on the road. It don't feel great. I'm not telling you to feel good about it, but you're going to feel really good when your team's playing in Qatar and you're not even remember how this happened.
Do you want to hear from our friend north of the border who might be working off some nervous energy right now, an hour and a half from kickoff in Edmonton? It's our man Vince
Dan
from Akron? Toronto. No, oh. Vince from Toronto. Vince is on the line. What up, Vince?
Oh, nothing much. How are you guys doing?
Nothing much.
I'm warmer than you, I guarantee it.
Wow, I don't know what it's like in Toronto. It's definitely cold in Edmonton. First of all, Vince, are you cool with all of that? There's no shame at all on Canada's side for putting that game where they're putting
it. We played in the snow all the time.
One time we did that. Go ahead, Vince.
I remember that Costa Rica game that the U.S. had. I think it was in Denver, right? The whole, Jermaine Jones snow throw and everything. And it was awesome, for as a neutral. You want to know how petty apparently Canada has been, so... Supposedly, the CSA booked off all the training centers, all the indoor training centers in Edmonton, and specifically said, we're reserving these. If Costa Rica or Mexico ask for them, tell them no. And then Mexico attempted to book one of the indoor facilities once the FIFA coordinator said, no, Commonwealth is too cold. The snow is coming down. You have to train indoors, which Canada did. And I don't know if you saw, but the prime minister actually came up and saw them. But when Mexico tried to get in, they got told that, sorry, we have youth programming going on right now. So, sorry, we have like a U9 girls game going on. Sorry, you can't use our facility to train. So it's full on gamemanship. Yeah. And honestly, I'm here for that, right?
If we're being honest, though, that U9 girls game might be better than what Mexico was going to do.
Maybe. I've coined a phrase, Jared. You tell me what you think of this. I mean, all is fair in love and CONCACAF. Like, it doesn't, you do whatever you need to do to get your advantage to win your game. Now, the other thing, Vince, is there's this kind of, and I think Andrew Wiebe of MLS Soccer, SoccerSoccer.com put it via meme, but there's this idea, this notion that Canada's actually hurting themselves by playing in these conditions in Edmonton, because Mexico is the team that, wants to slow down Canada, and these conditions are going to slow Canada down. What do you make of that?
It's true. Even Herdman said after the Costa Rica game that their game plan did not work properly on that pitch because it's frozen. The ball bounces. Your touch gets heavier. I'm assuming he's adjusting for this game because, the one thing that you could work off are set pieces, which it seems like this kind of game will be built for. Like, I don't expect players to be, ticky-tacking all over the frozen Edmonton pitch. But as long as those adjustments are there, and the fact that Mexico haven't even they won't even touch that pitch until it's game time is very important, right? And so I'm just hoping the adjustments will be there. It sounds like Herdman is preparing his game plan more so for that game with the knowledge now of how that pitch will go for them come game time. I'm just excited for the chaos of it all. Like, I'm looking forward to the Mexican long sleeves. I'm sure Alistair Johnston will go out there with short sleeves and no gloves because he's a madman. It's going to be a good time. I'm a little bit less stressed about it because I think the Costa Rica game was a must win. And if we beat Mexico, that is gravy. If we draw them, we're fantastic. Everyone's saying we're going to the World Cup. Like, I don't fully believe that, and I can't wrap my head around that. But it's an interesting time, you know, to be me and to be a Canadian soccer fan.
Vince, the only thing I really want to know, man, are we going to see an orange ball tonight?
I think we have to, right?
I think so. Yeah, they've already said
hell yeah,
it's going to be an orange ball.
I've just seen a picture of the field, of the pitch in Edmonton, and it is cleared of snow. It does not look comfortable. It looks like it's rock hard, but we'll find out in a little bit. Now, this is an American soccer
show.
Let's
hope it doesn't backfire. Like, listen, some elite players for Canada are going to be on the field, and you're putting them in a tough position for speed and ice. You don't do it on the roads for a reason. And I worry about the guys like Alfonso Davies and Jonathan David.
Jonathan David, yep.
Like, you got, if Tejan Buchanan, you got some speedsters, man, and you're asking them to play on ice. This could backfire for Canada.
Well, let's hope it goes okay. Vince, I don't know if I'm completely rooting for Canada. I think I want to draw, but, you know, I wouldn't be upset by a win for your team.
I mean, like, ultimately, if we do win, you know, all of us are going to be turning on, you know, Univision Deportes or whatever tomorrow, just to see the Mexican media, right? Because that's what we live for, right? That's what we want to see. We want to see the Tata are out. You know what? I'll say it right now. You guys are the mirrors of each other, because anytime a result doesn't go your way, it's either Berhalter out or it's Tata out. It's right. So, you know what, you guys are,
that's how you know we've made it as a soccer country.
I appreciate the call, Vince, in Toronto, waiting for that Canada game. There's a picture.
Is that Soldier Field?
So Nikki Soup and Salad just put a picture up of Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton before they cleared it. They're not playing it on that.
For the podcast listeners, I apologize for this, but that big bucket over the field in Canada, they required to have the Nickelodeon green slime. Like, is that what that is, in case someone says I don't know?
I actually don't know what that is. That like the screen? Is that, what is that? You're right. There's like something suspended over the field. I'm not even sure what that is. But yeah, that's normally
maple syrup.
That's normally a Canadian Football League stadium for the Edmonton. Man, what are they called now? They changed their name because it was not culturally sensitive anymore. They used to be the Eskimos. They've changed it. No longer the Eskimos. I think they're like the, oh man, Edmonton Elks. The Edmonton Elks. I pulled it. That's what they're called. Not that matters for us. 717-727-2378 is the phone number. Again, Jamaica 1. USA 1, Jamaica 1 in Kingston this afternoon. The United States.
I don't watch any other games besides the US usually, like the CONCACAF games. I have no interest in watching them because I have no skin in the game. But I may watch this one just for the sheer bullshit.
Oh, the terror on the eyes of in the eyes of the Mexicans as they walk into 10-degree temperatures. 10 degrees, Jared. 10. I don't know what would happen to you, a Southern Californian, in 10-degree temperatures. What do you turn to stone?
Watch the Mexicans. That's what would happen to me.
The same thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know me, I got a cord of wood in the side of the house in case it turns 50.
Yeah, I know, right? That's wild to me. All right, this is the point you made earlier, and I'm going to come back to it, right? And again, this is not to excuse some questionable or not very good play by the Americans, but PDDJR88, it's a fantastic internet name. I'm miffed about all the takes that say Jamaica should feel hard done by. And again, Bobby Reed and the miss, but more than that, the Walker Zimmerman foul. They were extremely lucky to not be down to 9 men. Jared, do you feel that they were lucky not to be at least one, right?
I think there was a pretty egregious tackle in the first half that could have been red carded had it been reviewed. And this was what we're talking about. Like, it's unfair to bring VAR mid-season because the results have already been affected. And you can't change the rules midway through just because you've gotten pressure about how the choice you made before all this started. So, yeah, but I don't want to reverse engineer the game. I'd rather evaluate on what did happen. And what did happen is USA got a draw in an ugly way, and a couple of things in that game could have definitely harmed the US. So it's not it was in no way a dominant performance or even a good performance. It was just
I like you're trying to center us here, because this thing happens all the time where people say, well, if that guy had finished his chance, the United States would have. Well, he didn't finish his chance, did he? You can't. You could do that forever. If they had completed 5% more passes, well, the United States would have gotten run off the field. Yes, if that happened, it would have been a different game, but they didn't. So why are we talking about something that did not happen? Now, for the United States.
Now, if we had lost.
Nope, that's the thing.
I've been talking about
it. Yeah, but that's the thing. You're right. They did not lose. And let's put this in perspective. They dropped 2 points from a winning position, if you want to argue it that way, on an absolute blast by a fantastic player in Mikel Antonio, a guy who's third in the Premier League.
It took a golazo right from 35.
Exactly. It took an incredible shot from 35 yards out. To beat the to have the United States lose out on 2 points tonight, right? I think it's hard in the context of a young group, the qualifying process, the difficulties in CONCACAF, the expectations we have that they'll play better, the justified criticisms of Berhalter that then are overly stated in some cases or are taken to an extreme that he doesn't deserve, even if, again, there are fair criticisms to be made. I mean, all of that is in this bag, and trying to figure out how to properly make it work is tough.
If you want to reverse engineer some stuff to talk about, or as a fan, not you, Jason, but as a fan, be mad. If you want to be mad about something, be mad that the USA has played 2 games in a row where someone should have been sent off had VAR been around, and it wasn't. And don't be excited about the fact they're fixing it in January. Be mad that your region didn't represent you properly at the beginning and allowed that to be in place. I mean, USA should have been playing up a man 2 games in a row, and they weren't because the region doesn't have the players' backs, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say. Alex in Fresno is going to join us here. Alex, you're on the Best Soccer Show. What's up?
How's it going, gentlemen? I was just got in trouble by my supervisor for watching the game at work.
Nice.
That's brilliant. I know it's tough for you West Coast people. That game started at what, 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
Luckily, my kids had minimum day this week for parent teacher conference, so I had to leave early anyway.
Okay. Well, you got, for people like Alex, man, I don't know how you guys did it. Don't get in trouble. Don't lose your job, Alex.
Nah, I'm not going to lose my job. Just watching on my phone. My supervisor comes walking in. I'm just flipping it over. But, anyways, watching the game, and I completely agree with you guys about. I mean, everyone's like, I don't know if most people are mentioning this, but it took a banger of a goal just to draw the U.S. I mean, obviously the game wasn't a good one for the U.S. in terms of the way that they performed overall, because you can definitely argue that Jamaica had the way better chances in this game. But a point on the road, it's not the end of the world. And I think most people are just disappointed because they expect this team to win. They want them to win every single time they step on the field because they think they have the quality to do so. And that's why people, I think, are disappointed. And me as a fan who, you know, has high expectations of this team, also, you know, I wanted to see them get 3 points even on the road. And I think they could do that. But at the end of the day, a draw is not the end of the world. And I think we're sitting, at 15 points now. And now we're just waiting on what's going to happen with Mexico versus Canada, which draws me to my next point. If Mexico were to lose this game, and I think Panama is to win this game, or is Mexico sitting out at the World Cup?
So Panama's got El Salvador tonight, Jerry. They start kickoff in about half an hour. Panama's on 11 points. Canada's on 13. If Canada beats Mexico, they'll go to 16. They'll jump over the United States. They'll be in first place, pushing the United States to second. Mexico will remain on 14. If Panama beats El Salvador, they would obviously jump up to 14 as well. Now,
I don't know what the goal differential is, though.
Mexico would still, unless Panama just absolutely blows the doors off of El Salvador, they would likely have the goal differential. It's +4 to Mexico right now. So you could conceivably have a 4-goal swing. Oh. But
if you want to see some fun, let that result play out just like that. Let Tata wake up tomorrow in fourth place.
Yeah, I mean,
Rogelio, I feel bad for you, buddy.
How do you feel about Tata Martino at this point. I mean, I kind of feel bad for the guy. Obviously, he's not doing an incredible job. I don't think Mexico has the horses in some cases.
But you know what? I think he's put himself in trouble some of these times. I don't know that he's always called up the right players, too.
Okay,
I mean,
okay.
He's left some players that you felt could have been difference makers off the field. He's been hard done by some injuries on the defensive side. He played half of qualifying without Jimenez. I mean, it's been a tough road for him. You know, he hasn't been given a great deck, and his players are older. His players are older, at least the ones he has left. So I think Tata's been asked to do a lot. He's still in second place.
He's got key midfielders that are older, and they do not have clear replacements for those players. That is absolutely true. I mean, Guardado didn't start against the United States. He doesn't seem to be the guy right now. Herrera is still a good player, but his engine is slowly, you know, it's slowly shutting down, and he's plus 30 now, I think. So you're starting to see that catch up to him.
What do you think about this right here from Patrick? Tata to LAFC.
Okay. Let's not. You want to dive into that because there's rivalry elements, and
I actually kind of like that, man. Like, wouldn't that be?
It'd be fun. It'd be incredibly fun. But he would have to get fired by Mexico before the end of the year.
Oh, that's gonna happen.
For LAFC to turn in.
Something stupid's gonna happen, and Mexico's gonna overreact and fire him. And then,
okay, all right,
who comes in? I don't know who comes in.
What
if Bob Bradley comes in to save him?
Save Mexico? Oh, that'd be amazing. I don't think it'll.
Do you think Bob Bradley would take the Mexico job? Do you think Bob Bradley would ever take the Mexico job?
Yes, Bob would take the job. Mexico won't offer it to him. They won't offer it.
You don't think so? They're too proud to offer Bob Bradley the job?
Yes,
absolutely. They don't need the help of an American? Is that what it is?
And I don't think that they would be able to sell an American saving them to the Mexican fan base. I just don't think they would do that.
But part of me, and I know this is not national team talk, but I do kind of hope that Bob takes a job in Mexico. I think that's the last frontier for him right now. Like, he's coached in Europe. He's coached an international team in Africa.
Sure, but they with the short season format, the Apertura de Clausura, and the tendency to fire coaches. I just wonder, like, a run of three games go bad and Bob Bradley's out already. Like, I wouldn't want to see that happen to him because he is a good coach and he would deserve better than that. And the Mexican environment is just not healthy. You know what I'm saying? In terms of coaching longevity.
And once again, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place right now, but do you think Peter Vermes is going to go down as the best American coach never to coach the national team?
I think if he wins another MLS Cup or something, maybe. I mean, Ziggy, I think, might still have that title at the moment.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. Ziggy does have it for
Alex,
the moment.
Alex is still there. You got anything else you want to add, Alex?
Yeah, well, I'll just one final take, I guess, is that our next window, I think, in January, I think it's pretty favorable. I think we got El Salvador at home and was it Honduras at home? I can't remember.
If you think Canada away is favorable.
Yeah, it's Canada away is the one that starts that run, I think. I think that's the first game.
I think
game.
It's in the middle, Jay.
Oh, that's right. The 27th is El Salvador at home. You're right. So you could presumably start off with a win. I mean, hopefully start off a win against El Salvador, but then you have to go to Canada. And then you finish out with a home game against Honduras. I mean, that's a
brutal window for the travel, though. That's a tough travel window.
No, it's not.
I apologize. I had the ways and home switched. I'm sorry.
No. You're at home. You go to Canada, come back. That's a super easy travel window. Plus, those are two teams you absolutely should beat at home in El Salvador and Honduras. That's a 6-point window at the very least. And you should target, a win in Canada. But who knows? We'll see. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, so same as what I'm thinking. You know, we can get 6 points at the bare minimum. And I think, you know, I still want a little revenge on Canada, so I want that win for sure. And if they're playing in Vancouver, who knows? I might just make the trip.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, well, here's the thing. I wouldn't be surprised if they play in Vancouver, and here's why. This could backfire tonight. All this shithousery that they're doing tonight could backfire on them, and they have not announced the dates yet. I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't go right.
And Vince, who already called in, who might be able to chime in with his thoughts on this. Vince says Canada's roster for January will be rough. We don't have a lot of our regulars in the defensive end because the MLS season is over. So what he's saying is that form is going to be a factor for Canada in the back of the formation. You'll have an informed Charlie. Well, Alfonso Davies is in Germany. They're going to take their winter break. I don't know when that runs. So he might not actually be sharp either.
Peter Buchan is going to Belgium. Do they play through the winter?
I think they play through the winter, but I have to check on that. And I think David's in France. And the Estacio's in Portugal, right? So I think they're going to be fine in some spots and have issues in others. Plus, and this is what I was going to ask Vince about. Vancouver's come up as a possibility. And obviously, you can put 50,000 in the BC place, and it's a great environment and all that. But apparently, the European-based players aren't keen to travel all the way over to the West Coast from Europe and are
it's
pushing
turf
for
anyway, isn't it?
they're pushing for a Toronto game. Yes, and turf. They're pushing for Toronto for that game. I think that would benefit the United States to be able to go up to Toronto rather than have to go out to Vancouver. So there is that. All right, let's get to our man Frank in the OC. What's up, Frank?
Yo, what up, guys?
How you doing, man?
So I couldn't watch the game. I'm doing fine. You know, I have lady problems, but I'm doing fine.
She wouldn't let you watch, huh?
Here's the thing.
Man, yeah, you got to figure this out, Frank.
No. Yeah, I did. I shot myself in the foot, couldn't watch it. So, yeah, I was in the doghouse.
Well, without having seen the game, Frank, tell us.
In the doghouse, man.
This is nice. This is an interesting experiment, right? So Frank is coming to our show blind. Now, he's heard us talk, which probably biases him in some way. But, Frank, when you saw that 1-1 scoreline without having seen the game, what was your first thought?
I saw the lineup and I saw the sub, and I was not surprised. The U.S. has never really been a consistent team. But we got the 4 points that we needed. I think I would chalk this up as a win. I know some people thought like we would just go into the office and, you know, clear them out, but that's not realistic. I think you win at home, you tie on the road. That's a good formula. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's an interesting thing. I hadn't thought about the thing. Him being blind, just being a results based. Like purely results-based analysis, you know, like, it's not tainted by all that. I mean, thank your girl. You didn't have to watch that game.
You know, every now you're like, I so desperately want to watch this game. I was watching that game while trying to wrangle a 10-month-old. And there's, you put him down, he cries, he doesn't want to be put down. You put him in his little play area, nope, he's not having that. You put him in his bouncing thing, nope, he's not having that. Got to hold him, but he doesn't want to sit still. So he's like jumping on me and hitting me and like, and I'm trying to watch the game and I'm trying to entertain him. That was a painful experience. I think I almost wish I hadn't been able to watch it. And then I could just, you know, like Frank rather, I could just say, hey, what point on the road in CONCACAF? All right, I'll take that. Let's move forward.
Yeah, I'm honestly like I feel much better about our team than say like the Italians and the Portuguese feel about their team. I think we're good. We shouldn't you know go to DEFCON, you know, the worst one so quickly. We're in a good spot. Okay, I mean that's all.
Okay. All right, so it's a DEFCON 4 or 5 situation for Frank in the OC. Appreciate the call, Frank. I have a tweet here from Rich in Philadelphia. And this is a good point, Jared. And this, we talked about Ricardo Pepi and maybe slowing down a little bit. You know, that hot hand he had in the beginning,
yep,
cooled off. He you know, obviously working on the other parts of his game as an 18-year-old. That's part of this. He hasn't played with Gio Reyna yet. It's kind of easy to forget just how piecemeal this has been over the course of the last 2 months, especially. Again, no Gio, no Pulisic in the October window. Little bits of Pulisic here in the November window.
Even when Pulisic did come in, they only got a few minutes together because Pepi got subbed out both games on the back end.
So Pulisic hasn't played with Pepi really. Just a little tiny bit. He hasn't played with Gio. Obviously, Weston McKennie was not in this game. Serginho Dest was out of this game. And these are all guys that would start, right? Pulisic would start. Gio would start. Weston would start. Dest would start. Walker Zimmerman, maybe, but definitely Miles Robinson missing. That's a starter missing.
Yeah.
So you could argue we were missing half our starters tonight. Does that make it more palatable that they got the draw in Jamaica?
You know, you're asking me that after the fact, because if you had asked me beforehand, I would say, no, they should still win. Even with the players that were in that right. starting lineup, I would say right. this team should win. So it's a cop-out, I think, if I'm being honest about myself. I'm not sure about everyone else, but if you're asking about myself, it's a cop-out if I say yes, because I would have been confident, and I was confident, that this was a team that could get a win away at Jamaica, and they didn't. So in a sense, it is always going to be a bit of a letdown, and they didn't meet expectations, but they still met the minimum requirements to pass. They got a C.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
C's get degrees.
By the way, Frank mentioned Italy and Portugal, right? What's the deal? Italy is going into the playoff as they finish second
They're
behind
both in
Switzerland.
The playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, and Portugal finishing second behind Serbia has to go in the playoffs. So it is possible Italy will miss two World Cups in a row after
and
winning
be
a
Euro champions. Yeah.
European champion. I mean, you know, I don't like that comparison. Things are different, and the World Cup is supposed to be the World Cup, so you can't just give.
But you're
all
playing
the
same teams you played in the Euro. They're all you should be able to qualify.
It's wild. It's super wild. Let's go to Harry from New York. He wants to talk about the substitutes. Jared, what's up, Harry?
Hey guys, how are you? So I'm in line with you guys. I mean, watching the game, I'm happy that we got the point, but overall, this isn't the effort that I want to see on the road going forward. And I just want to specifically address Berhalter. You know, I don't really hate on him, but I kind of feel like he has a philosophy before the game starts and he sticks to it. Like, if you saw today, Weah and Musa were really good, and I don't know the logic, if he explained it at all, was subbing them out of the game. I think he lost momentum. I think he could have gone with another change. I'm watching the game. I'm seeing them wreck havoc, specifically Weah, and he subs him out, and I'm frustrated in that decision. Not that that was the reason why they lost, but can we, I don't know, is this guy watching the game, or I don't, you guys help me out here.
He's watching the game, but he's accepting a different result than the average fan. I think that's what happens here, is that the fans want us to go for the win every time. And that's okay. That's okay to feel that way.
It's easy to be aggressive in your head when you're not the one making the calls, when you're not the one to make the decisions, that it's not on you. It's easy to say, well, we should always be aggressive. And look, I fall into this trap too. I'm always like, go after it in the beginning of the game. Give them everything you got. Go score the goal and set yourself up. And it's easy to talk about that. It's much harder to get yourself to. And this is true of every coach on the planet. And even the coaches that are the attacking coaches, what they're doing in terms of attack is usually predicated on turning the ball over or pressing or holding the ball, using possession as a weapon, which is also defensive in the same manner that it's attacking. So, you know, it's easy to talk about, it's harder to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, the question's for you, man. Like, are you okay with Greg being pragmatic, or do you want him to go for the 3 points no matter what, even if it puts the result and potential qualification on the line? How do you feel about it?
Well, that's why I want to know what was the logic behind this. Was it because he thinks that Areola is better defensively? I mean, I kind of think that that's his pet player that he's putting in. And someone will ask him the question, what was the logic behind that?
We might find out. I know he's already talked to the media, so we'll find out. And
Brendan Aaronson was Sonic the Hedgehog for two games, dude. Like, how much does he really have in the tank down the stretch? And you want a guy in there that's going to be fresh. First of all, it's just fresh legs. That's all it is for one part.
Yeah, I think, so yes, Brendan Aaronson coming off is a matter of problem. And again, I think there's even a possibility that Musa coming off for Acosta, and we talked about it, Jared. Now, you could argue that that's just a defensive substitution, a more defensive player. Now, Busio is not necessarily a much better defender than Musa, but what does Busio do? What else does Busio have that Musa maybe doesn't have quite as? I mean, Musa needs to be moving with the ball to be effective.
He takes a step on the ball. I mean, he holds the ball for a minute, takes a breath, looks for the easy pass.
Busio is going to help you slow the game down.
Busio has the ability to do the things that everyone hates that Sebastian Legette does, but Sebastian Legette is 7 years older and so people hate him more.
You're talking about playing backwards and things like
that. Yeah, I mean, Busio will take the lateral pass or the backwards pass and take his foot off the pedal every once in a while. He also has the ability to push forward, too. I'm not going to say he's legit. I'm sorry. People are going to make that into a big thing. But he has the ability to just do a simple ball to take pressure, slow the game down, Musa's just full-on afterburners going forward when he gets the ball.
At a certain point in
the
match.
Guys,
go ahead, Harry. Sorry, go ahead.
If I'm still there, just really quick, not to get away from the point, but what did you think of Berhalter's overly cautious and just ceding to Chelsea that the most important, I think that quote was the most important thing, that he's get back to Chelsea LP. I mean, not that I want to see our number 10 injured or anything, but I just think he should have brought in at halftime. He's just way too much with the deference to Chelsea.
Okay. Well, again, I think it comes back to just how much did Pulisic have in the tank, right? So you can say that the game needed Pulisic at halftime. You could argue that. You certainly could. But did Pulisic have another 45 minutes in him after missing 2 months with Chelsea? I mean,
is 1 point at Jamaica worth not potentially having Christian Pulisic in January? That's the question. Right. Like, why take the chance? Why take the chance?
And I think that you could very easily argue the other side of the Pulisic coin, which is why play him at all, right? Why play him? Why not just go regressive and defensive in the last 30 minutes of that game? Don't even bother bringing him onto a choppy field where he could potentially, and he got hacked down twice in like the first three minutes. As soon as he touched the ball, he's getting hacked down. If you know that's going to happen, you take a risk putting him on the field. It's not about Thomas Tuchel, right?
By
it's
way,
not
you
because
just, you just reminded me. Yeah. US got to be better on set pieces, man. You got to get Christian Pulisic winning balls from 20, winning fouls 25 yards out. First of all, we have no shot threat. I mean, Busio could potentially do it, maybe, but the service is not good enough. Corner kicks and free kicks.
I don't know why Busio wasn't taking set pieces.
Christian Pulisic took both the ones for the fouls.
That was the second half, though. I'm talking about in the first half. I don't remember.
Aronson and I believe Aronson was taking the corners, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure if Busio serviced any of them or not.
Well, Busio takes, last time I checked, Busio takes set pieces at Venezia. Okay.
And Gio takes them for Dortmund.
Gio wasn't here. That's the thing. Yeah. When Gio's not there, they need to find somebody else to because they had a couple of, Pulisic's balls didn't beat the first man. A couple of other opportunities didn't beat the first man. Something's going on taking set pieces. I also think defending set pieces.
You literally have Walker Zimmerman who wins everything in the air, and we can't get the ball close to his head.
I know.
The guy will go up there and get it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, to come back to Harry's point, once you get to a place in that game where you feel like maybe we don't have the ability to turn it back around, maybe we're not going to get our foot back on the gas and control this match. We're tired. We're away from home. The conditions are poor. They're being physical. The referee's letting a lot go. I think it's understandable that Berhalter would say, okay, we'll throw on Christian to see if he can create some magic, but we're also going to make some other changes that are more about maintaining that scoreline and getting to 90 minutes 1-1.
Matt, I got something to make everyone feel better. Can I say something to make everyone feel better, Jay?
Sure.
The U.S. team is potentially in first place in World Cup qualifying, with Christian Pulisic and Gio Reyna playing less than half the games.
Yeah.
Like, think about that for a second. Gio Reyna played one game. Christian Pulisic played half the games.
We wouldn't have believed that possible when this qualifying process started. We would not.
Gio Destin hasn't played maybe half the games, partly because of coaches' decisions.
Yeah.
In terms of starting. This team is getting it done without the players you expected to get it done. So just think where this team could still go.
It was never realistic. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it was never realistic they were going to boss every game. It was never realistic they were going to just dominate on the road in Cock. That was never realistic. It just wasn't, right? I know this is a talented group, the Golden Generation, and Berhalter's wasting. They were never going to dominate in CONCACAF. I don't care who the coach is. So when we look at the results, if you had signed me up for 15 points at this point, 8 games in, more than 2 points per game, just short of 2 points per game, I would have taken that. I would be happy with that. If you told me we were in first going into the last round, which we don't know, if we were in first going to the eighth game, or that we would be in the top two coming out of this window, I would have taken that. If you told me that one of those results would have been a comprehensive 2-0 victory against Mexico in front of 26,000 or whatever it is, would have taken it every single day. I would have, yes, please give that to me right now. So here we are on the other side. And another comment from Rich on Twitter, if the order of games was reversed, Jared, if they had drawn against Jamaica and then beaten Mexico in this window, if the games had been flipped, how would we be feeling about this window? Would it be completely, I mean, right now, how would we be feeling? Completely different, right?
Oh, absolutely. It would be DEFCON 2. Greg Berhalter's probably out.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if they had drawn Jamaica in the first game of the window and then beaten Mexico 2-0.
Oh, I thought you meant the WIS window if it had been reversed. I apologize.
No. If the results were the same, but the games were in the opposite order, we would be feeling a lot better right now than we do. Right?
It's two wins in a row. It also would feel like a streak at that point. It would be two wins in a row if they won tonight and we won in Mexico in the same window.
You're not understanding.
I'm going to try one more time. I'm going to try this.
Is it possible it's too convoluted?
Okay. No. They have a draw against Jamaica and a win against Mexico in this window, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Flip the order of those results.
Oh.
A draw against Jamaica.
No, I would not feel good at all.
You would feel bad about a draw.
Yes, we didn't win at home against Mexico.
Oh my God,
Jared.
Again, this is the last time.
Can I try
one more time?
Can I try?
One more time. A draw against Mexico at home is not good.
No, 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 no. Okay, Nick's going to try.
Hey, Jared.
This is the Laura Ingram thing. That's killing me right now.
Let's say that on Friday night, the United States went to Jamaica and drew 1-1.
Oh,
and then on Tuesday night, tonight, they won Dos a Cero in Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
You'd be feeling a lot better.
How would you feel right now? A lot better than we feel at the moment, right?
I'd probably feel the same. I mean, I feel good because it was a Mexico win most recently, but I would feel the same in terms of the overall feel of the
national
team.
Okay, all right, well, that's because you're pretty even on this stuff. But there are a lot of people who would feel completely different. I feel
way better.
Yeah, I think I would feel way better too. I think the recency
effect. I think you're saying flip the results. You're saying flip the fixtures. I got you.
Just the order of the games. That's all I was saying. Flip the order of the games. Yeah, but look we're gonna see, because again, now there's a layoff. Now we're going to see who gets healthy, who's ready in January. I'm going to say this as we get ready to close up shop here tonight. Do not count on everybody being back and everybody being healthy and everybody being informed, because that's not going to happen, right? Just the odds are against it.
I'm going to go the other direction. For Christmas, all I want is everyone healthy.
Okay. But
it's possible.
Pulisic could be fine. I mean, again, he could get hurt again, but Pulisic should be fine. Giovanni Reyna should be back. Sergiño Dest should be back. Presumably Weston McKennie will be playing soccer somewhere, Juve or whatever. Tyler Adams, fine. I do think, you know, left back is a bit of an issue at the moment. But what I'm saying is there will still be, for example, we've been relying on Miles Robinson up to this point. Now, he wasn't there tonight because of the red card. Miles Robinson, come the end of January, is not going to have played a competitive soccer match in, what is that, 3 months? Almost 3 months, 2.5 months by that point.
Assuming he doesn't make a move, yeah.
Assuming he doesn't, Miles Robinson's not, there are no rumors around him leaving Atlanta United.
It's not January yet.
No, I know that, but even if he goes somewhere, he lands in what? He lands January 1st and he gets a weekend of training
and
he plays
two matches.
Still
better than any other MLS player.
Okay, fine, but my point is he will not be.
Pepe's going to be in the same situation.
Exactly. So this is what I'm saying. Come January, and Vince was talking about Canada's issues with their back line because of MLS players being there. The United States does have some key pieces that are going to be out of form, not sharp, out of season when we get to January. How do you manage that? Big questions.
The same way Berhalter managed the games in August. I mean, in September. Like, the European players weren't in form at that point, and we still made it through. You're always going to have this. It depends where your players are playing. Every team has this.
That was all I was saying. I'm just trying to say that it will never be perfect, and so you make the best out of what you got. And it's up to people who have watched this team play in the last two games whether or not Berhalter's doing enough, whether he's doing whether he's getting enough out of the group he has available. And, you know, nitpicking about call-ups aside, and I really, what is there? Is there any reasonable argument? We talked about Brooks already, fine, whatever. But is there any other player who was not in this team that absolutely should have been in this team? I don't think there was, right?
So, some people talked about, like, Conrad De La Fuente. I mean, I don't think that's a must call-up.
De La Torre, right.
John Brooks is the main one. That's the main one. And then, hopefully, Sergiño Dest is back from his injury. Listen, in terms of not everyone being healthy, if Tim Ream happens to have a slight calf soreness, I'm okay with leaving him out in January. I'm just saying. Tim Ream doesn't have to make this next camp. I'm all right.
All right. We'll see. All right. That's it. I think we need to wrap this thing up. Thank you for joining us on a post-game. USA 1, Jamaica 1 in Kingston. Make sure you check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. We had a couple new signups. I should probably, shout out those people. So if you, Jared, if you'll pad for a moment, I will tell everybody who's just joined us over on the Patreon. I got it. Kyle, Gary, Skyler, and Steve are now part.
Oh, I missed Steve.
Steve is Steve was already there, but he came back to us. I think that's what happened.
Oh, what's up, Steve?
Because I tried to add him to the Slack, and it said,
and
"Oh,
I appreciate
he's already a in
Skyler
your space."
Spelled interestingly.
Is that how you say that, by the way? I'm assuming that's how
I've seen it spelled that way before.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Skyler. Yeah. Shout out to everybody there. Patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. We did a bonus show on Sunday night. I thought that was one of the best ones we've ever done.
It was an hour long, too.
It was insane. Morgan is now part of our bonus shows, and she's fantastic. Obviously, Nikki Soup and Salad is over there doing his stuff, adding to the show, and on the phone lines, hooking us up there. We've asked for reviews. I'm going to look down. We have no reviews. We'll move quickly past that.
I started to think that there are reviews, but Nick just didn't prepare them. I can't tell the difference.
Play the ding button.
Oh, that's what happened. Okay, so he just didn't know. that was that symbol that he made, that thing he just did. I didn't prepare them.
Deer in headlights. I was getting that Edmonton photo ready.
Yeah. That's important. That's good. All right, Mr. Dubois, anything else to add before I hit the button?
Hey guys, have perspective. It's a good window.
All right, a good window. The United States will be in first or second by the end of it. Let's go watch Canada and Mexico play in the snow. We'll talk to you guys when? Sunday, right? Talk to you on Sunday. Bye.
Get to the chopper!
Michael fucking Arrasco Fiscal!
It's all the deal! Please, along the tunnel!
Danger zone!
What are we doing?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yup!
It was that.
Oh, here we go, saucing him up. Hit him, hit him. What? What?
Oh, baby!
Take us to DEFCON 3.
Oh, it's incredible!
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Michael fucking Arrasco Fiscal!
Jay Rodius.